It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and spring has sprung. We're right dead in the middle of May, and my flowers have been up and are starting to, the tulips and stuff are falling off already. So that's usually, I think we're a week or two ahead, Bob, of where we normally are. I grow chives in a little bucket, right, on beside my grill. And usually they got like a little pyramid on top of them when they blossom. And it's not a pyramid, what I'm talking about. Like it's in Saudi Arabia, those round tops with a little point on there, right? That's what's on top of a. That's what's on top of a.
Kind of a bulb.
Yeah, right. But it's on top of a chive, and they're already starting to blossom, which is usually a June event, mid to late June, and because you can eat the flowers off a chive, and they're very, very fragrant, and they're almost taste like garlic. But anyway, so I noticed those were about ready to pop into the flowers when I was out there last night. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Yeah, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And Jop, thanks for letting me say hi to you. Yeah. You and your chive jive.
Yeah.
Mid-May. Man, been quite a month already. The world's a crazy place. I had to buzz off to Florida and stay with my brother Mike, who was in hospice, and you know, of course, he passed away, so we have a memorial now for him.
Right.
Lots of events coming up. The smoker's getting fired up again, but the best part of it is my two boys are coming home.
That is the best part.
Yeah, Alex left.
From where and from where?
I can now say Alex was in Kuwait this whole while. And he is probably kissing the ground in Texas about as we speak.
Oh, nice.
So he'll be going back to an army post there and doing his out processing. And he doesn't have any guard duty for 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's due home in a couple days. And my wife is just ecstatic. Jordan comes back from his mission. He's been on an extended training mission for like a year at least.
Right. So and, clarify for the listeners.
Those are my
Alex,
two boys.
Those are two boys. Alex is in what branch?
Army National Guard. He's in the Chinook program. He was a Chinook mechanic, and he corrected me and said that he's an inspector now.
Oh, okay.
So, he's somebody.
Right.
He doesn't touch a wrench.
Yeah, he just looks at the guys that worked it done.
He keeps an eye on the newer guys and makes sure those big Chinooks stay in the air. That's the one with the big twin rotary wings on top. And they're pretty cool. They're a workhorse for the Army. Mostly Army. Don't believe the Air Force and the Navy
and
have too many.
Jordan's branch of the service is what?
He's Air Force.
Right.
And I was Air Force, and then I was Army Guard, so they're each kind of
cool.
Close to my heart in that way.
Following the old man.
So tomorrow, Jordan comes to our house, and my wife can't sleep, and he's bringing his new Great Lakes Armory AR-15, and of course I've got mine from Allen Bob's, and there's going to be a little noise in the backwoods tomorrow.
A little shooting going out. Going
to be a little noise.
Yeah, you got rounds?
I've got rounds, and I've got headsets, because let me tell you, that slotted muzzle really wakes you up if you weren't knowing
what
was coming.
And the caliber of those are?
223/556.
So they're not kicking big, but they're making noise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because of that gas chamber.
Right.
And that's why the muzzle wants to vent. Is to take some of that recoil away.
Cool.
So it's time to celebrate for us. In a couple weeks, Alex will be heading down to Tennessee to visit his sister, along with some other siblings that are going down, and they're going to have a good time, and Alex is picking up a new motorcycle down there.
Okay.
And then he takes off on a tour around the country for about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. How fun.
So hopefully
I hope he does that safely, because he had a little crash a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You got to be careful on those things. That's all I fret about. But
because
it isn't him. It's the people that don't see you.
Or him. You know, it's operator error is good, too.
Right. Yeah.
Or bad.
Right.
I can tell you all about that.
Yeah.
So he's going to get to see a few states. He'll end up in Provo and Denver, and then back in Indiana, and get to know his machine a little bit.
Sure.
Next week, I'm headed up to the UP for a while. I'm going to go open up my brother-in-law's cabin with him for a couple days. He's got a new mule. That's why I've got an old one.
Right. And, they both eat the same. Unleaded.
We're taking his mule up. We're going to do a trail riding. And I'm going to show him that there are walleye in his lake, because I proved it to him last summer, and he didn't want to believe me.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't wait to do that. And then it's back to work. I got a new job, and I'm just going to be working nonstop. And
yep, I can relate to that.
Yeah,
I'm about a month in right now, and I'm loving what I'm doing, but it's drinking out of the fire hose, man. And I just a lot of learning. It's updating. You know, I did this for 25 years, took a 10-year hiatus, and now I'm back and doing the employee benefits work for mid-market corporations, and it's good. I really enjoy it. But
yeah.
We're cooking. Working today, right?
Right. I will be doing the same thing. I'm getting back into the aviation industry, which has been, I think, 35 years. But I'll be working for a company that supplies jet engines and landing gear and
critical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just as excited as can be to get – I mean, I love airplanes. I still love flying them. I'm not licensed any longer, but – that doesn't keep me away from getting a stick once in a while.
Right.
So I have buddies with planes, and they're generous.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be cool. It's an exciting place. They are prolific. The airline industry is really coming back because I think everybody downsized so much they didn't buy a lot of equipment and parts. So hopefully I can get off the ground selling some landing gear.
No pun intended, huh?
Right off the bat. I'm going to be drinking from the fire hose, too, because I am really out of date. I understand you don't have to crank the airplane anymore.
Right, yeah, right. So. The one-armed guy, he's not around anymore, right?
Yeah. No, all jet stuff, and it's going to be fun.
Good.
So what will really be fun is when I start getting some paychecks.
Well, those are good.
Them are good,
but anyway. So we've got the BS session out of the way, so what are we going to talk about today? We're going to do some burgers. Right? We're calling this Cheeseburger in Paradise. Is that what you want to call this today?
And I think it's good because we got a big holiday coming up, and I think the burgers will be flying.
On Memorial Day? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and so we might talk a little bit about some fuels, whether you're using charcoal, whether you're using gas, whether you're using pellets. Those are pieces of equipment that you can use to cook your burger. It's a quintessential thing. That's probably the first thing everybody ever put on their first grill.
Don't microwave a burger.
No, wouldn't mess with it. I might warm one up for 15 seconds after I'd already cooked it on the grill the day before, but that's about it. That's all I'm going to do with that.
I'm thinking Sobe Meats is going to be cranking out even harder. That place is so busy. I picked up a bunch of briskets and butts for the Allen Bob's event.
We'll talk about that a little later,
cow.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's Sobe Meats is a great place. But you support your local meat market, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Wherever you're listening.
Yes.
Because those guys are doing a valuable service. But anyway, so coming up next, it's Cheeseburger in Paradise. Sing it, Bob. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hot Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering, better Michigan beer.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Hey, it's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, you missed the BS session on the front end, but we're done with that now. So we're going to talk a little burgers.
We'll see.
Right? What do you want to talk about burgers, man? Can we talk about burgers for 40 more minutes?
Man, I could eat one right now.
Yeah.
Why do we always come in hungry?
Yeah.
Picking the right grind, and that's when your comment about supporting your local butcher really comes to play, because if you're buying good ground beef, ground sirloin, ground round, whatever you like. Ground chuck is my favorite. If you're buying it from a smaller shop, a private individual who's cleaning his own equipment and making sure the quality is top-notch, then you can be much more lenient with how well you cook your hamburger. If you go to the big box stores and buy the stuff in the tube or big bulk packages, I would be a little less maybe inclined to have something medium rare because, of course, of the salmonella or whatever might be in there.
Third baseman for the Tigers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope he's not.
Right.
But, so I personally like ground chuck. Now, I just picked up a cow
from my buddy. So ground chuck then is a different part of the cow. Right? And then there's probably a fat content that you like as well, right?
Right. And I just picked up a cow, and Smith & Sons butcher shop or slaughterhouse/meat store does all my processing up
in
Mount Pleasant.
On Mount Pleasant, yeah.
Because my buddy in Mount Pleasant's the one that grows the heifers that we use, and they make a fairly lean hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great if you're trying to lose weight. You want to watch the fat. Now, the fattier stuff actually makes a tastier hamburger.
Well, fat is flavor, baby.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm already fat enough and tasty enough. Hoping an alien doesn't eat me, and
right.
If he does, he's gonna have bacon on his breath, probably.
He might have high cholesterol.
Yes, definitely. So that's. You know, you can get 80-20, and very often if you're in the big chains, they're going to have something on sale. It's going to be, even right now, I think it's probably going to be $6 or $7 a pound. Everything is going up.
Right.
If you can get gas right now, get gas, because that's the next thing to go kittywampus
in
this new world we're in.
Yep.
Focus
on meat,
beef,
Bob.
Is the same thing. It's going crazy on price. I don't know what the pork market's like. Chicken has gone up. I don't know what the fish is doing, but I do tend to like about a 90-10 fat to protein content.
Right.
85 is still good, but a lot of times you're going to see 80-20 on sale. Ground beef, they'll just call it, because
right.
Who knows what's in it.
Right. Beef.
But then, you know, let's say you pick the right beef, the right grind.
For you.
Yeah.
Because the fattier it is, the more flavorful it is. I mean,
and the more likely it's going to catch fire if you're
that's
on
where
an
I was
open
going.
Flame.
That's where I was going. Is that, but the more fat it renders, and when it renders, if it hits hot coals or a hot grill, it'll flame from time to time if enough of it's coming off there. So, you know, you got to be prepared for that. Right?
That's right.
I mean, I don't, you can lose. You can put a char on a burger when it's really good, but if you char it for 30 seconds too long, now you got black, crisp, burnt. And that completely changes the flavor profile, the texture, and it goes from really good to not so good in a hurry. So, you know, but I think conversely, when you're cooking on a burger, is I don't like to flip them too many times. No. I'm maybe two times on each side, and that's it. The more you handle them, I feel like the more it's going to fall apart, the drier it's going to get.
Well, I agree. I think I like mine medium to medium rare in there. Right. And then, of course, my wife stay on a little longer, and I make the rest of them medium because there's always somebody eating at our house. And medium, nobody ever complains about. But then the next thing, I guess, I really am particular about, believe it or not, are the buns.
Yeah.
And our buddy Matt at Pit Stop Barbecue turned me on to a great bun that they sell at Walmart, and it's a brioche bun.
Yep.
It's got a wonderful price, and it's just kind of sweet.
Yep.
It's wonderful. They're a heck of a deal.
Great with pork, too.
Heck of a deal at Walmart. Yeah, it's what we served this weekend. And that I do like. Now, if I always use a bun on a burger. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm trying so hard to lose weight that I won't take a bun.
Yeah.
Because I just like, I mean, I love an olive burger,
mm-hmm.
and you got to have a bun. It's
yeah,
too
we'll,
messy.
We'll talk about things to put
too
on
messy.
Them in the next segment, but let's talk about we've got the mix down, whether you're 90, 85, or 80. I wouldn't go higher than 90 because you need some fat content in there to hold it together.
Yeah, your ground sirloin's generally going to be 95.
Right.
And it's somewhat... It's very good, but very often it's so lacking in fat that it is a little bland.
Right, and it'll fall apart on you if you flip it too many times.
So you were talking about that, and what I do is because I don't work the ground meat too much, I take it out and I compress it, I make my patty, and I put a big dent in the middle so it doesn't turn into a meatball, and I'll season it, and I'll throw it on a nice hot grate. And I'm going to leave it there until I see some of the juices starting to come to the top of the raw section.
Right.
Then I know it's starting to cook in the middle, and I'm going to get my spatula under it, going along with the grates, and kind of break it free if it's not free, and flip it one time. And I'm going to leave it on until I think it's done. I'll only flip a burger once.
Right. Yep. And
they're
better.
Then they don't break apart.
Right. They don't break apart, and they're and to me, they're better. You handle it too many times. You know, the other thing with that is it depending on what kind of device you're cooking it on too.
I'm going to use charcoal.
Right. I love charcoal. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't have time, or maybe some of our listeners only have a gas grill. They don't have a charcoal grill as well.
Right.
If that's you, go get a charcoal grill because you'll never regret it. You can get it for $40. You can get a little kettle.
You can go to Garrett's for $70 and get the little Smoky Joe.
Right.
And for $159, you can get their standard kettle.
Right.
Garrett's Appliance.
Like a Weber.
Two locations in Grand Rapids.
Right. Like a Weber. Yeah.
It's a Weber kettle.
Yeah.
It is a Weber.
Yeah. And the thing with charcoal is that if you're cooking with the top open, it's going to get all the air it could ever need, and it's going to get hot pretty quick. And so you have to build a smaller fire when you're cooking with charcoal. The gas, you're just turning a lever, and it's lighting your bar, and you know, you can regulate that heat. But charcoal's got a little more challenge.
That's
to it.
A little bit of an art, and we should, before we start the next segment with the designer burgers, we should talk a little bit about that heat level, because you're always learning.
Yeah, you are. And a little practice goes a long way. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And if you just tuned in, we've been talking a little bit about burgers. And we were going to touch on using your charcoal grill because there's some small tricks to the trade. And we often get feedback that, you know, you need to ramp this thing back a little bit for some of us beginners and not talk over
even old-timers.
Yeah, yeah, right. So take it away, Bob. We're going to talk about charcoal and what you had to do with it.
I won't talk over your head. I'll just talk over your talk.
There you go. I'm used to that.
So is my wife. Yeah. I just can't wait to say it. I don't know how long I've been grilling, 30-some, 40 years. And I learned something last week when I was cooking for Mother's Day at my church. I had our big stainless grill that we got from Tony at Vicky's Pasties.
The arm burner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I discovered something my second day of grilling. I tried just briquettes in that thing, and all of a sudden I could handle it. Because the pan is so shallow on that monster, the lump charcoal burns at like 1250, good lump charcoal, and I had good lump charcoal. Briquettes burn at about 8 or 850. So that lower temp, being closer to the fire, served me just well.
Right.
It was so good. And I guess depending on your grill and what you're using, I've always been kind of hard on briquettes because...
Like cooking with dirt?
I learned how to barbecue in Kansas City, and it turns you into a little bit of a barbecue snob or a lot into a barbecue snob. And I was selling charcoal for a company, and, you know, you can't use this or that. And after a while, it's like, okay, we turned off. I picked up 10 cases of skinless, boneless thighs for Impact Church's Mother's Day. I cooked 2 days in a row.
Right.
A little bit of a disaster there, I'll tell you about, but off the mic. But I ended up doing a lot of it on that grill. They just tasted so much better.
For the listeners that don't know, it's a charcoal grill. It's a picture a rectangular coffin, okay? But it's not quite that big.
It's a chicken coffin.
Right, it's a chicken coffin. It's got an elevated coal bed where you can raise it up and down and get it closer to the fire or not. But it's just a box. It's a rectangular box. It's like 2 foot deep, 4 foot long. And it cooks, man.
Yeah.
But it's stainless steel, and it gets super hot.
Yeah, I think somebody custom made it. And there's a lever on it that raises the grates.
Right.
And even when it's all the way up, it's only about 12 inches off the bottom of that grill.
Right, where the coals are. Right.
That's not all that high.
Right.
So using lump, I mean, there might be a way to spread them around enough or crush it up small enough, but it was so hot, it was burning the chicken.
Right, right.
I couldn't flip fast enough. My welding gloves, I have like the best welding gloves you can buy. It goes all the way up to your elbow. They couldn't take the heat.
Yeah.
So you need two or three
sets.
So then
your arm in there couldn't take the heat either.
So, you know, get a couple sets of welding gloves. Don't buy the barbecue gloves from anybody because they don't match up. Just find a nice welding supply shop and get the best glove they have with a nice up to your elbow.
When you put the briquettes in there, that dropped the fire, and then you
lost 400 degrees. I wasn't burning the chicken. It turned out beautiful. Yeah. And then I used your trick. I had a couple of these big gallon jugs of Frank's sweet chili sauce.
Yep. Yep.
And I put a camphor pan out, and I filled it with that Frank's, half a bottle of Frank's, and I threw the patties in there and let them bathe in there.
You mean the chicken?
Yep. Well, they're like a patty.
Once they get cooked, that skinless, boneless thigh is like
somebody opened up a wallet.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I threw these little pads of chicken in there, and just stirred them around a little bit, and just kept stacking them up. And I don't know how many guys came out and said, "I need to know the recipe for that." Here's what it was, dude. It was Lowry's salt and Frank's. Yeah. It was that simple. But
right.
Hello, how many times
Frank's sweet chili.
How many times do you have to learn that lesson that it's not always complicated?
Right.
I watch some guys fuss over their brisket mix, and then I smoke them with mine, and I'm just buying Billy Bowen's Master Mix.
Right.
You don't have to always reinvent everything. There are some, there, matter of fact, in this country, there's a plethora of products in any category you would ever want. I don't care if it's a laptop or
barbecue seasoning.
Yes.
Or anything in between.
It's so,
yep.
Anyway, charcoal means a lot. Think about your unit and how much heat. And if you've been using briquettes and it's not hot enough, go to lump or vice versa.
So I'm going to take us down one little rabbit trail here. The reason that we use lump is because it gets so hot. But the second part of that is that it will burn slow and slow if you damper the air to it. That grill you were using has no way to damper air.
Right.
You got an open lid. It's grabbing all the air it wants, and it gets way too hot.
In defense of briquettes, believe it or not, you can do the same with them. They will also slow down. But I know what you're saying. I think what you're maybe thinking is you can actually...
Let me tell you what I'm thinking. You don't have to think what I'm thinking.
You can. I think what you meant to say, ding dong, is that you don't have to put as much charcoal in as often with lump, and that's probably why use it.
Right. And
that's what you meant.
Yeah, and you can. I've never been able to snuff out a briquette at the end of a cook and then light it back up and use it again. And you can do that with the lump, so it's a little more efficient.
Well, you're using the wrong snuffer.
Right, I guess, must be. But anyway.
How about a designer burger?
Were we going to talk about those today?
I love those.
Yeah. Define that. What do you mean by designer burger?
Well, that's just my name. I don't know what they're really called, but there's all sorts of ways you can take a boring piece of ground beef or even a good piece of ground beef and make it kind of fancy. And one of my favorites is to put... of course, chopped onion, garlic, and green olives in it, because I love green olives.
Right.
Right? And
when you say in it, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, in the mix. So I'll kind of break up the burger into chunks. I'll put my seasoning on. Then I'll throw some chopped onion, maybe green pepper. A lot of people don't like green pepper or green olives, so know your audience. I'll throw some blue cheese in it.
So you're mixing this up like you would maybe a meatloaf, but then you're going to patty it out.
Yeah, and I'm not going to mix it real heavy because it'll make them tough if you work that meat too much. It's like bread dough.
Yep.
You don't want to work it too much because it'll make your bread crust too tough.
As well as
your
burger.
Do the same thing with a patty. Yep.
So I've stuffed burgers before. That'd be a designer burger if you want a quarter pound burger, you kind of bust your quarter pound in half, two patties. Put stuff in the middle and then seal it around the edges, right? So you've got a stuffed burger. Those are really good.
Couple tricks to that. Number one, if you have a patty press,
yeah.
Not talking about homecoming.
Oh, I'm going there too. By the way, I just set that up.
If you have one of those little plastic presses, you know the disc that cuts them out. Make your patties really thin if you're going to stuff them, because you have a lot of thickness. By the time you put a slice of cheddar or howdah or whatever in there, how do you like it? You're going to have a thick burger, and if you're using like box burger, you're going to want to cook it a little more thoroughly. But you set it, crimp it around the edge, because once that cheese starts heating up, she's going to want to bust loose, and it's going to be burping out the side, and then you're going to spill the guts out of it.
You're putting it on the grill, then you're not putting it on your plate.
It's going to look like a trout you stepped on.
Right, exactly. Or a pair of glasses, as he talked about earlier. But anyway, so I like to stuff those. My tip on that would be is if you're going to stuff it with a vegetable, an onion, some olives, whatever you want in there, cut them very thin.
Yes.
Okay? Don't put big chunks of something inside your burger, because it'll end up being you can't get your mouth over it, for one, and the other is it's not going to cook right.
And if you're stuffing them, you can use your blue cheese in between the patties, and it'll actually not render off as fast.
Right.
If you mix it with your burgers, you're going to lose a bunch of it, but it still tastes great.
Oh, yeah.
You might do both.
And you can, and then the third one is toppings. You can use it as a topping, too. Yeah. But we're not done with burgers, so stick with us. We'll be back.
Beat it.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies, and do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. It's burger time with the Grilling Guys, and we were just got tipped off there on stuffed burgers, and then during the break, we were talking a little bit about a burger bar. If you've not done one of these, you should, okay? Because you can feed as few as three or four people, or you can feed a whole bunch of them, and a great way to do that is with a burger bar. Now, you've done those at your house, Bob, right?
Yep.
Describe one for us.
What you're doing is you're setting up your bun for success.
Yeah.
You're putting out like a salad bar for your guests, for your wife, your girlfriend, or both, and you're able to take that beautiful bun, whatever you've selected. Now, I also do like to brush a little EVO on a bun and throw it on the grate for a second.
Sure.
I love them crispy.
Right.
Because what I don't want to happen is for that thing to get all mushy.
Right.
And if you're doing all this stuff, it's real easy, especially with a cheap bun.
Right.
Cheap stadium bun or something like that. They'll fall apart. And
they'll suck up anything that's moist, and then you got a soggy mess.
And then it's on your shirt.
Right.
Yeah. So I might toast that bun. And another thing about those buns, you can do that same thing if you have some stale buns. You ever have stale buns?
I've never been told I have stale buns.
You've never been told, that's all. So you can do that. You can, butter works. You can actually take out a big cast iron lodge skillet.
Yep.
Or not a Dutch oven, a skillet.
Yep.
And you can butter them up and throw them on a skillet for a second or two. And that'll take a stale bun and just bring it to life. If you look at these diners that we're always loving to go to, the basic greasy spoon, there's a reason it's a greasy spoon. They use a lot of grease. So they're going to put oil on their grate, on their griddle, and they're going to throw their buns on there and crisp them up because sometimes they're a little stale. Yep. And you can treat an older piece of bread that way quite nicely, camp toast, whatever you want to call it. But that does solve that problem. But setting up the bar itself, whatever your bun style is, whether it's, you know, pita bread or flat bread or naan is a big deal now.
Brioche, whatever. I'm personally, my favorite is a sesame seed bun.
Toby patties?
Well, no, it might be one, but however that goes. But I like a sesame seed bun.
Yes.
It's just good tasting. So
you're also seeing a lot of Kaiser rolls and stuff like that. Right. If you're going to make like a monster burger, the Kaisers are nice because they got some girth to them.
Right.
And the size of the burger patty has a lot to do with my happiness. If I'm seeing bun and not burger, I'm Debbie.
You're bummed?
It's Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to want to chop up some olives, and I'm going to slice some beautiful tomatoes. The Vidalia onions ought to be coming in anytime now. And slice them nice and thin because you're going to want to put a lot of stuff on this. You can use iceberg lettuce. Works mm-hmm. just fine. You don't have to necessarily have, you know, a fancy romaine or leaf or anything like that.
Bib.
But you can.
Yeah.
But you can. Bib butter lettuce is beautiful for a burger.
Right.
And I will typically put the cheese on the burger and let it melt before I serve them.
Yep.
But you can also put some cheese out for those who didn't get one. I've seen shredded pickled beets are wonderful on a burger, believe it or not. Of course, dill pickle.
Right.
So and you put all that stuff out and some honey jalapeno mustard, some hot mustard, and some basic cheap yellow, and then mayo and ketchup if you want to do some, if you want to play with some of the ketchup and make it like a spicy ketchup or a tangy ketchup or something like that. And the more of these things you put out for your guests, jalapenos, the more they're going to feel like you really love them. And food
yeah.
is love.
And the one that, you're right, it is. I've said this 100 times. If I've said it once, that people are happy when they're eating,
mm-hmm.
right? And if they're eating good food, they're really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do this, is because it's a lot of fun, and it's our way to show the love to our guests
yep.
that we're doing this. One thing that I would do on my burger bar that you didn't do is I would take my olives and mix them in some mayo and make an olive mayo for a topping rather than putting it just a regular.
That's a great idea.
Just a regular.
They stay on the patty.
Yeah, that's why.
But
it's the glue that holds it together.
I'm definitely going to do sliced olives, but I'm going to put like way too much mayo on the top, on the top bun.
Right.
And I'm going to throw the olives right on there and right. let it glue in. Same effect either way.
So let's talk about the structure of the burger, too. What do you put where? Does it matter to you? I mean, I start with the bun, and I don't want anything slippery. Too slippery, like a tomato underneath my burger. I want that bun burger
right.
contact.
You
man.
Don't want the tomato and the lettuce to be together because one of them's going to go shooting out.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So the tomato goes on top, lettuce on the bottom.
Right. Yep. Because the lettuce isn't that slippery. That burger will bite a little bit on the lettuce, but you put an onion under there, and it's going to slide. You put that tomato under there, it's definitely going to slide.
Of course, what you can also do is just put a big old. I mean, I like it so big you can barely get your mouth around it.
Right.
But I would get some of those big fancy toothpicks and throw that through it so that.
Yeah, but you can't eat it still. You got to cut it in half.
Well,
and then
if you can get halfway through it, you're good.
Yeah. That's good.
So,
but do you season your burgers in the burger mix or do you put it on top of the burger after you've got it patted? Doesn't matter?
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
I'm typically not mixing it. I'm typically just going to break off a chunk. Smash it and do like a smash burger
mm-hmm.
and throw it on the grill. So I'm going to take some of that spice we get from Old World. It's like it's got an Italian name. I can't think of it, but it's all in one. And there's a chef's blend that's also good. Two stores in Michigan have.
Tim Sobey has this thing called Tim's Blend. It's
yeah,
Sobey Meats.
It's very good.
It's really good.
And it's all you need.
Yeah, it's all you need. But it's got dried onion in it, and it's got garlic and salt and peppers,
yep.
three or four kinds of peppers.
I buy the big jugs of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
I
yeah.
always have it.
Yep, I wouldn't go without it. Exactly, yeah. Sobey's got that figured out. There again, back to your point that you mentioned earlier in the show, is that you don't have to mix this stuff up yourself. Go buy one. There's
yeah.
tons of really good seasonings out there, but it makes the difference. And I made this mistake. I think I talked about it about a month and a half ago, but if you weren't listening— when you get to the bottom of a seasoning jar, okay, there's going to be the heavy stuff that's down there. Generally, that's salt in all of your seasoning. So if you got just a little bit left in a jar, be careful how you use that because you oversalt something with that jar.
Save it for your porch in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, we're going to bring this train to the station. Bob's going to hit us with a little man law, and geez, I don't know what else we'll talk about, but something. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Long one.
Oh, well, it's so appropriate.
Is it?
All men must eat meat. A buttload of meat. If not bordering on carnivore, for no reason should a man ever be a vegetarian. No reason ever be a vegetarian. Or eat stuff like tofu. Also, no man should consume any food with the terms diet, fat-free, or any other healthy suggested terms for the sake of watching his weight or dieting.
Okay.
Man law.
Man law. That's it. All right. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's man law.
And it's what we say.
That's right.
So don't forget to go to our website. We kind of got a new look to it. Thank you, Chaz. And what we do on that site, of course, is we catalog any recipes we've ever done. There's hundreds. You can pick your category, beef, fish, chicken. I don't see a category for tofu.
No?
Or diet.
You're right.
But
it's a man's website. That's
yeah.
Right.
And but your wife will like it. And you can also look for the headset. Click on that for instructions to get our podcast. Because this show is free. We have literally thousands and thousands of podcasters. And that's becoming like probably more popular, no offense, Mr. Producer, but more popular than studio station.
Right.
I mean, we need the studio to make a podcast.
Right.
But less and less people are at the right place at the right time to listen to the show they want. You know, classic example. We just lost the great Rush Limbaugh. He's going to be replaced. But how often are you available from 12 to 3 to sit and listen to 3 hours of programming?
Right.
No, not. But that podcast is awful nice.
Right.
I have a few of them I like. The X-22 Report. It's just awesome. Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend's son just came back from working out with Joe Rogan for a week. I think he sells some sort of deal on his podcast where you can fly out to California for a week. And he's into, I think, mixed martial arts is probably how he got his fame. But he does jiu-jitsu lessons and parties with all of you who go out. So I'm not doing an ad for Joe Rogan, but he is pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So also our website will have a link to our Twitter feed, our Facebook feed, and you can click on and follow us on your social media platforms. There's more and more coming, but we definitely want to hear from you and see you on that site. It's a resource. I still will go to the store to buy things for something I'm going to make, and I'll go to thegrillingguys.com, and I'll pull up a recipe to make sure I have everything I need for it.
Sure.
Because I can't remember them all anymore. There's just so many of them out there.
Right. Well, and you don't cook with recipes much anyway.
Well, the recipes
come on
there.
Come on.
The ones I made, I kind of just made them up, and sometimes I can't remember what I did. I'm old, man. I'm old.
My wife accused me of not remembering either.
Not member?
Not member. Not you don't remember that. All right. Hey, you've been listening to Grilling, guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your backyard, and we'll talk with you next week.